Awesome. Church, so good to see all and so good to be with you today online. It's the first time I've ever preached sitting down, I think. So this is the first time for me. And we did say that we were going to mix up Easter. We were going to have an Easter Sunday fun day. Well, the good news is Easter Sunday fun day is in your living room. It's in your bedroom, it's in your garden. You guys make Easter Sunday fun day. And yeah, we just want to have Sunday this Sunday. It's president to 2020. We would be sharing church in this way. Anyway, let's carry on. Well, there was a kids production going on in church. And they were enjoying, they were all preparing for Easter kids production. And they had done all the rehearsals and they had practiced everything that they were trying to do. And everything was ready for the Easter large production in their church. And one kid particularly, his name was Timothy. He was given the crowning role, the crowning part of the whole drama. His line was, "He is not here, he is risen." And so he practiced and he practiced and he knew his lines so well. He just knew everything. And so it came to the actual drama and they went into the drama that morning. And as the drama continued, the boy just got extremely nervous. And his mind just went blank. You know, those times when your mind just, everything in your mind disappears. And so this little boy is just looking around and you can see he's getting nervous. And so he looks at the director and the director whispers to him, "He is not here, he is risen." Oh, the boy was overjoyed. He was like, yeah, I remember. So it came to his line and with confidence, with gusto, with authority, he said, "He is not here, he is in prison." I can imagine that that would have gone down extremely well with the whole church hearing that Jesus is not here, he's in prison. But you know, sometimes I think that can be familiar to each and every one of us in our everyday realities. Sometimes we can allow fears and nerves and concerns to block our sights and to block the fullness of what's happening in the moment. Easter is no different. And Easter 2020, we must focus on what is truly important. With COVID-19 surrounding everything, with it all around the news, with you can just so easily lose sight of the power and the authority that comes through Easter message. And you may well be asking this morning, where is God this Easter? Why is God allowing suffering like this? And I've titled my sermon, "He is not here, ... Because sometimes we just read a part and we just stay on the part, but we don't always see the whole thing. And as we've already seen, we're looking at Matthew 28 verses 1 to 20 today. And I know that those questions we all might be having, and I want to tell you that they are very valid and they are very true. And God is not scared of our questions and our doubts. But this morning, this Resurrection Sunday, he's saying, "Come to me. Come to me. Share all who are weary, all who are tired. Come and find rest in me." I want to just share a bit of context about the text this morning. And we're looking at Matthew 28, but you can actually see this story told in all four Gospels. And we can see first in John 19, verses 28 to 30, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." On Good Friday, we celebrated the death and the death of Jesus Christ. We celebrated him at the cross, dying for us. We took communion together as a church to celebrate and to remember all that he did for us. Dying in our place, a sinless man, who a sinless man, man who was God, took on our sin to die on the cross. And Matthew 25, verse 45 says that Jesus actually died around about 3 p.m. on the Friday night. Why is that important? Well, we know that Friday is when he passed away, but Saturday is the Jewish day of Sabbath. And so when Jesus died at 3 o'clock, they had to get him ready and in a tomb before Sabbath came. But Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, doesn't start on the dawn on Saturday morning. It actually starts at the dusk on Friday evening. So it's Friday evening to Saturday evening. Around about 8 o'clock on Friday is when the Sabbath would have started. So they only had about 5 hours to get Jesus off the cross, ready and in the tomb and covered before the whole process was over. And so they had no time to have a big celebration. They had no time to celebrate Jesus' life or to mourn together or to spend time together with him. Sabbath was coming. May I say that the lockdown was coming. They were about to go into their own lockdown where they couldn't be together. They couldn't share and mourn together because they weren't allowed to do anything. And I'm sure at that point they were saying, where is God? He is not here. Where is he? He's left us. He's left Jesus. And that's where we find ourselves in the text this morning. And so I want to make 3 points this morning that we want to just focus on today. My first point is his kingship. It says in verse 1, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. We see so much here that it is all about his kingship. Imagine with me that the disciples had been mourning the loss of Jesus, and that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had seen and were actually there when they took his body and put it in the grave so quickly and so hurried. And they were probably all mourning and desperate and broken. And I'm sure that the fear was so tangible, not realizing that Jesus was still near. And actually, we see that that morning, the ladies came, and you can actually read in Luke 24 that they came prepared with spices in order to prepare Jesus's body and make sure he had a proper send-off. They were focused and they were fully expecting Jesus to still be dead that morning. When they came to the tomb, they didn't expect to see a risen Savior. They expected to find him in the grave and to pay their last respects. Why? Because they focused on the death and on the cross, and instead of focusing on the promised resurrection. They forgot to focus on the promise that Jesus himself made to them. And their fears and their mourning, I think, is completely warranted and completely granted. And it makes sense. But I love it because God is always working for us. He is always showing that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King was at work when they thought all else was lost. Whilst they were focused on mourning and grieving together, Jesus and God were focused on conquering sin in the grave. God was prepared and was completing his greatest work for eternity. Jesus went all the way to hell, and it says in Revelation 1 verse 8, I am the living one, I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. When everyone else was resting, when everyone else was wondering what is happening, God was at work. The King was at work. He overcame death and the grave and self. And he did it for you and for me. Jesus was fulfilling the promises of old, and he was fulfilling the promises that he made to his people. And Jesus is still working right here, right now, in this moment, when all else seems like things are falling apart, when COVID-19 is surrounding us, we can trust and believe that the King of Kings is doing a mighty work for us. I think in this time where we have a lot of time on our hands, many of us are rekindling a passion for puzzles. I know that we all have a different passion, but some people really have reignited their passion to get involved in puzzles. I know that Ashley and Sue celebrated their wedding anniversary doing a jigsaw puzzle. And I think it's just having, what a romantic way to love each other and to celebrate marriage. And I know that Matt was sharing last week, actually, about a time when he bought a brand new puzzle. And he opened the puzzle and they enjoyed it as a family. And they were putting this puzzle together only to get to the very end and to find that this brand new puzzle had one piece missing. How frustrating. I don't know about you, but that is pretty frustrating when you get that far, but you're so close, but you're so far. And the thing is, sometimes we focus on that missing piece, or we focus on one piece, that we forget to marvel at the bigger picture. We forget to marvel at what God is doing on such a bigger scheme than we could ever begin to see, and we can ever begin to imagine. Sometimes, just like Mary and the disciples, we focus on one piece, which is the cross and its grave, and we forget that Jesus was focused on something much greater, the bigger picture of eternity. This morning we're going to sing as a response, Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And there's so much truth in that today, that he is a waymaker. The King of Kings is made way for us. And I love the bridge particularly. It says, even when I don't see it, when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. How true is that? That even when everyone thought that Jesus was dead and in the grave, God was doing his greatest work. And even right now, where we don't necessarily see and we can't see God at work, we can know and believe that we can trust that he is working it all for his good. We also see God's kingship come through in the verses in verse 18, where it says, Jesus meets his disciples and he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Notice the word all there. It doesn't mean he's been given half the authority, but it means all authority over all nations, all people, all things, all tribes. You could add up the authority of every president, every prime minister in the world, and nothing would compare to the surpassing authority of Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave. He has authority over you this morning. Over your sickness, Frank, he had authority. Over your finances, whoever you might be and you feel like you're struggling, he has authority. He has authority over your family, your future, your businesses, whatever it might be. Jesus has the ultimate authority. He is the all in all, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we can trust in his kingship because he is Lord of all. You know, I remember a time when I was when actually Lapice was about to give birth and Olivia was wanting to come a little bit early, the doctors felt. And so Lapice went into labor on the Friday night and the doctors were actually trying to slow down the pregnancy because they felt like it was too early. But Olivia wanted to come no matter what. So that night, Saturday evening, we went into full labor. And Lapice was in full labor and it was very, very hectic. Come Sunday morning, Lapice and baby were exhausted. The contractions were heavy and they were exhausted. And then they put the monitor on to check baby's heartbeat. And all you could hear was pop, 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 pop. Everything seemed to stop for a moment as we could hear that her heartbeat was slowing and slowing. But the nurses were doing everything to deliver Olivia, and finally Olivia came into the world. But as she came and she wasn't making a noise, and she was not responsive at all. And then I look over at Lapice, and the midwife who's helping Lapice is frantically trying to work out what's going on because she couldn't stop the bleeding that was happening. And so I couldn't understand because it was all happening in Kirundi, but I could tell that nothing, it wasn't right with my baby. They took her away and they tried to resuscitate her. And Lapice, I could tell there was something wrong with her. And I just said, God, where are you? Where are you? And it's in those moments where God is all that we can cling to. He's all that we can hope. And we can hold on to the fact that he has authority. And no matter what happens in the good or the bad, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust that he is working everything out for our good. You might be saying, this morning, where is God? Well, he's not in the tomb. He's not there. He is risen. So first of all, we look at his kingship. Secondly, we look at his kindness. We see that in verse 5, Jesus sends an angel, and it says, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Jesus sends an angel, and sometimes when things are not going right around us, sometimes even in these times of COVID-19, God sends angels to minister to his people. And the angel comforts Mary, Magdalene and the other Mary, and he says to them, do not be afraid. And then he welcomes them and he says, come and see. Come and see. God is always about being personal. In his kindness, he knows that you need to be comforted. He knows that you want to be met where you're at, and he's in the business of doing so. You know, there's a powerful story on YouTube, and I'd love and encourage you to check it out. It's about a testimony of someone who is in Northern Ireland. And he was in hospital with COVID-19, and he was on oxygen, and he was at his last breath. A very powerful testimony. And he shares about how he prayed and he cried out to God, just give me a sign, give me something to give me courage to keep me going. And as he prayed that, he knew that he couldn't have his family. He couldn't have the pastor come in. He couldn't have other people come because he was in isolation. But just then, God sent an angel. But not an angel as we would expect it, but he sent an angel in the form of a cleaner. And that cleaner came to him that afternoon, and he came and he started to encourage him. He found out that the cleaner was an ex-missionary, and he began to share all that God had done through him in his mission work. And then the cleaner said, can I pray for you this morning? And so he prays for the man, and he prays from a distance, obviously, because they're in isolation. And as the cleaner leaves that evening, this man in hospital slowly finds himself getting better and better. And then as he's getting better, he just prays and says, God, you know, I know that you're here. And so I just pray that I just really want a packet of prawn cocktail and a can of Coke. That's all I want. I'm feeling better. I just fancy a packet of prawn cocktail crisps. Not knowing how he would get this, but he went to bed that night. And the next morning, sure enough, his angel came again. The cleaner came with a paper bag with two oranges, a can of Coke, and a packet of prawn cocktail crisps. You know, you might think, well, that's just really random. It is really random. But God works out every detail of your life. He knows the big things that are going on, and he knows the small things that you're going through, and he's really wanting to meet every need this morning. The resurrected King is the God who sees the bigger picture, but he also sees the small details. In his kindness and his goodness, he wants to give you your packet of prawn cocktail crisps this morning. He wants to meet you right where your need is. So God sent an angel, but we also see that Jesus met him himself. He met the women. In verse 8 it says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Jesus didn't just leave it at a personal encounter by an angel. Jesus met them where they were at. In his kindness, in his goodness, he met them. He knew that they were probably afraid. He knew that there was uncertainty, and he just wanted to meet them and to celebrate with them. And as a result, they bowed down and they worshipped him at that point in time. Jesus says, or it says in Hebrews 13, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Jesus, in his kindness and in his goodness this morning, will meet you wherever you're at, because he is the resurrected King. Because he has all authority. He may have authority over every single thing in the world, but he still cares about every single detail. He also met the disciples because he wanted to let them know that he is risen and he is no longer dead. Is he meeting you this week? I pray that this week you may realize that Jesus is meeting you right where you need him. So first we see his kingship. Second, we see his kindness. And third, we see his commission. Jesus rose from the dead, but he didn't leave it there. He met with his disciples later in verse 19, and he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus is all about sending us to go. This Easter, you might not be able to go physically, but how is Jesus sending you to be an encouragement and to share the Easter story with the people in your community, within your family? Because Jesus has all authority, he's not sending us in our own power, but as he sends us with his authority. His authority, it guides us. And his authority, it empowers us to go, therefore. If you believe this morning that Jesus didn't just die, that story continued, holds the keys in his hands. If you believe that he rose, then it is your duty, it is my duty to share that good news, to go, therefore. The word go there is not a stagnant word. It's an ongoing word. It means to continually go, to continually be going and going and going, never to stop in the pursuit of going and spreading the good news. But we don't do it alone. I love the very end of Matthew 28 when Jesus says, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Surely, Jesus is with you to the very end of the age. That's not a promise. That is a fact. Jesus died and rose again so that he can be with you as you go into the world and tell all about Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. I wonder this morning where you're at with that. Do you know the risen Savior? Do you know his kingship? Do you know his kindness? And do you know his commission to go into all the world? I want us to just take a moment and pray, because I believe that there is an opportunity this morning to meet this Jesus if you don't already know him. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your pain. I don't know your hurt necessarily, but I know that there is a king who conquered the grave to set you free and to give you life in the fullness, to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And I know that he is a God who wants to meet you right here and right now. And so wherever you are, I want you just to close your eyes and to bow your head. And I just want you, if you want to pray a prayer this morning to accept Jesus into your life, to say, Jesus, I'm doing this on my own. I need you to take over this morning. If that's you, I just want you to repeat the prayer after me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. But Lord, I thank you that you didn't just die for my sins, but you rose again in victory. And Lord God, I just hand over my life to you this morning. Be Lord of my life. Wash me clean. Make me new. I want to know you more in my life. Jesus, take control of my life. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.